Thank you. It's fascinating to hear different people's Christmas traditions. I love hearing about them and what different people do. We had a newsletter at work, just kind of a little informal thing amongst a few people, and we set out a little quiz for who could guess what the manager's tradition was. And there were people who go and help on steam locomotives to take people to see Father Christmas. There were quite a number of people who have a favourite tipple at a particular time. So slow gin when they're putting up the Christmas tree, not the same person, I hasten to add. A snowball when they're wrapping presents. I knew what a snowball was because I'd heard of that. And somebody said they had a horse's neck cocktail, which is brandy and ginger ale and Angostura bitters, because I felt, you know, obliged to do the research. And they have that when they are cooking their Christmas lunch. So it's nice to have those Christmas traditions. As you came in today, if you came in, you would have been introduced to the music that came from these. I'm going to see if I can get to play for a second. Which should mean this microphone comes on. There we go. Brilliant. Right, let me find the on switch. I'm going to turn it off there. Just, I might come back to it in a minute. To my reckoning, we've had that in my parents' family for about 30 years or so. It was a gift, I think, from some American friends. And, you know, it comes out every year. Today is the first day that we, as in my family and I, have heard the last song. I'll tell you why. Because every time... Every time you start it, every time it gets started, it starts right at the beginning. And there are 35 songs. And it goes through them all. And over the years, it's nice to play it in a room this big. But in my parents' front room, which isn't the small front room, it makes quite a lot of noise, along with 14 other people in the house. And even on the occasions where we've said, let's have a go at listening to the whole thing, we've set it up and get it going, and we get about a third of the way through, and somebody goes, yeah, I don't know if we'll do this anymore. Or somebody else comes into the room and goes, this is making a lot of noise, and turns it off. So, genuinely, we only heard it through, all the way through, for the first time today. It's a bit of a Christmas tradition, it comes out. A few years ago, my parents said, should we get rid of it? It's like, no. We have to do it, even though we've never listened to it all. We have another Christmas tradition in our house. It's a Christmas decoration that goes on our Christmas tree. Claire and I were talking about it, and it's either 19 or 20 years ago that we've had it. And I brought it with me today. It spent last night out in the garden because I had it in my pocket, went out to get something, fell over, and we had to find it again this morning. So it's had its first night outdoors. It's a small, well, not small nail, 6-inch nail wrapped in a red ribbon. And it's a reminder for us every year, and there's a certain kind of, when this comes out, everybody else hang, you know, we hang all the Christmas decorations, but there's usually a moment where we go, where's that? Where's that going to hang? And there's a little reminder that although there's one tree at Christmas, there's another tree coming at Easter with nails and with a red ribbon or with a red flow of blood. And so this year, I have to say thank you to Peter Scott, who, bless him, I'm going to put that one away, has taken a whole load of nails and has made sure there's no sharp points on them and has glued and stuck a little bit of red ribbon. So we have for you this morning a variety of gifts. But one of the gifts that we would like to give you is, let me see if I can find one, a brand new nail with a little red ribbon, in the hope that it becomes a little tradition for you and for your family. There are 70, we had 80. There is one of these already hanging at Peter Scott's house, because I was honoured enough to put one on his tree. We've taken the liberty of putting one on our tree here. You can just about see it at the front as a little render. And I've also given a couple to the people who are preparing for the Christmas lunch. But we would like to give you one of these today as a reminder that this little thing here, we only ever listen to the first little bit of it. And sometimes at Christmas, there's this focus on the first little bit of the Christmas, of the whole Jesus story. But it's not about the manger and the stable. This is a much more important bit of the story. But actually, even this isn't the end of the story. I want to read to you a really well-known prophecy from the Old Testament, okay? From Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So this Christmas, obviously, have fun. Enjoy yourself. Do the Christmas traditions, however daft and silly they are. Remember the baby in the manger. Remember the tree that is to come at Easter. But remember that that even isn't this in the end. Even rising from the tomb isn't the end. The end is Jesus coming back. And being the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. So we're